Hey, baseball is not done yet. I know, Lord, football has arrived and everything else feels like background noise, but I get it. I live it. But let me make a case for something real quick. And that is the baseball pennant race right now is wild and you can cash in. We're in the final weeks of the regular season. Teams are clawing for wild card spots. One-run games, bullpen meltdowns, lineups being juggled every night. Now is the best baseball time of the year, and it's happening right now at mybookie.ag. MyBookie has all of it. Every game, every line, baseball and football running simultaneously. It's beautiful chaos. New players use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. If your first bet loses, you get it back up to $500 in free play plus $25 in casino credit. One rollover. That's it. Don't sleep on fall baseball, folks. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for availability in your state. A couple months ago, I told you about how getting denied a life insurance policy kicked off a personal health journey. Well, I'm down over 30 pounds, even though my recent summer trip to the beach didn't exactly help, but we're still trending in the right direction. The whole experience, though, made me think differently about all this stuff. Of course, I'm thankful the old way of getting life insurance set me on this path, but how many people get stuck because of the exams, the blood work, and phone calls with agents? Well, fortunately, there's a better way. It's called Ethos. Ethos helps you find life insurance fast and completely online. No medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. Get a quote in seconds, apply in as little as 10 minutes, and get same-day coverage. Up to $3 million in protection. Some policies as low as $30 a month. And you'll get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Look, 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot with over 5,500 reviews. That's proof. Real people know this works. Don't wait for a rejection letter to get your act together, like me. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote online at ethos.com/Zabe. That's ethos.com/Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating as of August 1st, 2026. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Monday, August 31st, 2026. Thank you for downloading. I thought today was September 1st. Funny, why would I think that? I don't know. I just had it in my head that Monday would start the first, and I had plans of, you know, starting a new fitness regimen on the first of the month of September. And it's, I feel like I got an extra day to cheat, an extra day to put it off for one more day. But I'm glad you're with us. We are on the verge of the ride that is the National Football League and the upcoming 2026 season, and Sunday was cut-down day in the NFL. Now, before I get into some of the more notable names that were cut and some of the more notable names that were not cut, had a friend reach out to me and say, hey, did they change the way NFL teams got cut down? Because he was convinced it used to be in stages. And the answer is yes, they did change it, and yes, you're right, it used to be different. Thank God for Grok, or your AI agent of choice. Some of you are ChatGPT people, but you can just type now into your favorite AI a question that would have otherwise taken multiple Google searches on your own, with note-taking on your own, and it would have been time-consuming to be sure. Instead, I just typed in, when did the NFL change its preseason roster sizes and cut down rules? Here's the explanation. The rules have changed several times since the 90-man training camp limit became standard, which was in 2012. The NFL bumped it up from 80 to 90. Teams still open camp at 90 today. However, through 2016, there was two mandatory cutdowns. They went from 90 to 75 after the third preseason game, and then from 75 to 53 after the fourth preseason game. However, they then dropped a preseason game, and so the owners voted in 2017 to just drop the 75-man cut. And so now it goes straight from 90 to 53, and it normally happens on a Tuesday, but this year it's a Sunday. Why? Because the Rams and the Niners are going all the way down under, mate, to Australia to start the season on a Wednesday. That's right, it's Wednesday, as maybe you're trying to set up a fantasy league and you're thinking, well, if we have to, we can always draft on Wednesday night next week. No, no, no. The season will begin. So because they're traveling to Australia, the Niners are going there a lot earlier. The Rams apparently are only going to be there for 24 hours, which seems nuts to me, but that's Sean McVay's plan. Anyway, the cutdown day was moved up from Tuesday to Sunday. And I wish I could sit here and say, well, here is the definitive. Everyone's team, every player who's been cut from their roster list, but guess what? It does not exist because the NFL is still a bit sloppy and or old school in this way, in that there is no list right now. It is all being kept kind of close to the vest, and people are saying, well, why? According to one tweet I saw, they said that some teams are trying to game the system. If they keep the complete list of cuts out of the public eye for a few more hours, then they could possibly have a chance to get those players through waivers by giving other teams less time to react. It seems like a good theory, but let's be honest. Doesn't every team employ a whole bunch of really smart pencil necks in their front office who are scouring the waiver wire as soon as guys get cut? I'd imagine that's the case. Either way, there's always going to be a couple of people tweeting about, you know, it's treated casually by the sports media, but it is never a small thing when somebody loses a job. And they talk and they wax poetically about these are young men who would hope to make it in the NFL or guys who had been in the NFL and were now cut. Hey, couple things. Number one, life sucks. Get a helmet. Number two, most of these guys never had a job in the NFL. They were never going to make the team. There are notable exceptions. There's a couple of UDFAs, undrafted free agents, who have made squads. But these guys weren't going to make the team. Every year, and anyone who follows the league knows this, every team has about four or five roster spots tops that are even in play. And this is for a couple of reasons. Reason number one is that teams just don't cut their draft picks anymore. It used to be, and I remember back in the day, where if a team drafted seven or eight guys, four of them could be cut at the end of camp. And somewhere along the line, don't say, well, drafting got better. They finally figured out how to get guys. Drafting has not gotten any better in the league. There's still massive mistakes being made at the most important position on the field, quarterback, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But anyway, they used to cut their draft picks. And so that's why, oh, who's going to make the team? I can't wait to find out has become there's like three or four spots. Also, this 90, you know, person roster, here's what has happened. The NFL has outsourced, they've done a very strategic thing, and it's smart because they want to make money. They took, you know, four preseason games. They flipped one of them from a fake game that nobody cares about, preseason, turned it into a real game, hence the 17-week schedule. They would desperately love to flip another meaningless preseason game into a real game they can sell to Netflix, Amazon, Apple, you name it, or another network for more money. And they're trying to get there. So they're trying to turn two of the four worthless games into money games. And at the same time, they're inviting 90 guys to come do the work of the two meaningless games so that the starters can rest even more than they do. Listen, I don't hate it. I can't hate it. It's brilliant. That's what they're doing. So there's never really that much drama in cutdown day. But there are some names, oh, by the way. Here are some of the names that are on cutdown day. J.J. McCarthy is not, as of almost 11 p.m. on Sunday night, cut from the Minnesota Vikings. This was one of the big names and one of the big swings and misses in the NFL that people were keeping their eye on. By the way, shout out to our boy Charch, who said a long time ago, well before camp started, there's no competition between J.J. McCarthy and Kyler Murray. No, it's between, you know, McCarthy and the backup spot with Carson Wentz. That's the competition. And boy, was fucking Charch right about that. So when it became clear that McCarthy was losing that battle, then it pivoted to, well, what can we get for him? Who can we trade him to? And it looks like the market was pretty soft. So for now, they're keeping him. The Browns are keeping all four of their quarterbacks, although they were able to stash Dylan Gabriel, who had a great preseason game number 3. I mean, lit it up. But it's all funny money. You'd have no idea if it's any good or not. But his stats were good, Dylan Gabriel. People had fun Friday night going, it's hilarious that the Browns QB3 is better than their first two guys. No. He played against a bunch of scrubs who were never going to have a job in the NFL. But the Browns are keeping all four, and they've managed to stash Dylan Gabriel on the IR. And they weren't the only ones to keep four quarterbacks, at least for the moment. And they include the following. Here's the other teams. The Eagles kept Jalen Hurts, Tanner McKee, Andy Dalton, and Cole Payton. Falcons kept Tua Tagovailoa, Michael Penix Jr., Cooper Rush, and Jack Strand. Steelers keeping Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Drew Aller. Vikings keeping Murray, McCarthy, Wentz, and Brosmer for the moment. But once this dust settles, and then you can put some guys on the practice squad, then we'll see who's released elsewhere. Then we'll see if there's anyone desperate enough to trade for a quarterback. We'll see who goes where. Some of the quarterbacks that were cut I thought were pretty good, such as Jake Browning, the former Cincinnati Bengal, whose now fiance, Stephanie Niles, has gotten quite a bit of viral fame by her matching outfits, her custom matching outfits in team gear for every week that her husband is on the roster.
Okay, guys, here's the thing. I do have a massive jacket because it's, 8 degrees right now? Feels like -7. I am going to die. But I feel like this is all, like, ski bunny vibes. Is it not? Okay, we gotta go to the tailgate. Bye, guys.
I mean, look, she's a rocket. Even the backup QBs in this league get rockets. But here's what's funny. She got... So Browning in the offseason went to the Buccaneers. Played pretty well the preseason. And so, of course, Ms. soon-to-be Browning, maybe, Ms. Niles, had to get new outfits for her rocket of a body. So she got these red jumpsuits.
Okay, guys. Here's the thing. Not only is it my first game as a Bucs fan and in red, but this is my first outfit that I've made for myself.
Oh my God.
If it holds up the whole game, I'll be very proud of myself.
Oh God. That's so funny. Well, you know what? She'll adapt. I can't say it's probably the only money that she has wasted on things that didn't make a lot of sense. It is what it is. Will Levis has been cut by the Titans. Damn it. Will Levis was my favorite, insanely not qualified to be a QB1 in my lifetime, I think, in the NFL. I called him the Netflix quarterback. Why? Because he looked the part. Guy played at Penn State for 3 years. He transferred to Kentucky, played 2 years there, had the physical traits that NFL scouts like to see. And the Tennessee Titans, of course, reached to get their backyard guy who went to Kentucky. Never reach for a backyard guy. Will Levis was an absolute shit show. And he was fun as hell to watch. Now, he wasn't a first rounder quite, but he was 33rd overall. Speaking of Rockets, his girlfriend at the draft was also. Because you know what? Will Levis is a good-looking dude. Big muscles, square jaw, handsome fella, cannot play. Netflix quarterback. He was the quarterback Netflix would cast to play the quarterback in a made-for-Netflix football movie. I think my favorite moment of Will Levis was when he threw a pick six and executed a kneeling surrender cobra right in the middle of the field as the ball was being returned for a touchdown. There's a screen cap of it. Somebody took it. There was a couple other plays in which he was just horribly out of his depth, recklessly out of control, flinging the ball here, flinging the ball there, trying to lateral the ball when he's getting sacked like he was playing backyard football. Remember the Will Levis stories and J.J. McCarthy stories when anyone tries to tell you on the couch, well, I know you've got opinions about these players in the draft. You need to relax. We have professional scouts and an entire scouting department doing our best work to assess their NFL readiness. It's a fucking crapshoot, that is for sure. So, shout out to all the young men who thought they were making an NFL team. Chances are you probably weren't going to make the team, and now you're not. So there are options. There is, you know, XFL, there's Arena League, there's, I don't know what other football there is to be played, but keep at it. Keep grinding. There are some great stories, such as the Packers wide receiver J. Michael Sturdivant. J. Michael Sturdivant made the 53 as an undrafted free agent. And he's 23 years old, I want to say. Yeah, he's 23. Like, if you're going to make the roster as an UDFA, it's better if you're 20 or 21, so you got a couple of years that a team can stash you. You can maybe come along. But no, J. Michael Sturdivant made the team. UDFA out of Florida won a three-way battle with Isaiah Nayor, and Will Shepard for what will be presumably the seventh and final wide receiver spot on the team, and he cemented his place with an outstanding performance in Green Bay's final preseason game against the Cardinals on Friday night. That was the LaFleur Bowl with the Packers coach Matt LaFleur and Mike LaFleur, the new head coach of the Cardinals. Brothers all. Anyway, J. Michael Sturdivant had a nice Facebook post of him in a Little League team photo in which he is smiling from ear to ear, playing for the Redbirds, saying, "Life sure is crazy. I'm writing this with tears of joy streaming down my face, and I can't believe I can tell this little kid in this photo that his dreams were never out of reach." He goes on to talk about how his nights, you know, where he cried and he was dreaming of making something of himself, either in the NFL or otherwise. That's great. I'm not against those stories. When I say callously, "Hey, man, you really never had a job in the NFL," I'm just trying to call balls and strikes the best I can. I'm not trying to stomp on people's dreams. I'm happy for these stories. Let's hope that he can continue to stick and get in the game and do some things. That'd be great. Of course, he didn't fake it. That's the other big story from the weekend. The Dejan Love story is a doozy. The Fed swooped in and busted this guy who claimed to be an NFL wide receiver by the name of Dejan Love. Here's a quick little, how did he do it? Well, he created a whole lot of social media. He worked his hustle. And he knew at the end of the day, if he asked 1,000 women for a couple grand in a scam because he told them, "I'm an NFL wide receiver and this is how I got rich, and if you want to be with me, I need $10,000 from you." If he asked 1,000 of those women, all it takes is one or two, and they would believe him. Here's a quick sizzle reel.
Right now, you can call me a 49er. And we'll just leave it at that. I love the 49er organization. Faithful to the Bay. 6 months. It's been all type of motherfucking teams calling me. The Raiders called me. The 49ers called me. The Seahawks called me. The Buffalo Bills called me. The Ravens called me. A bunch of teams. And I went and worked out for all of them. But San Francisco was the best team out of all of those teams. And they offered me the most money.
He had a wild story beyond just being an NFL wide receiver. He claimed he came from money, big money, and that his parents, I think he came from, he said he was born in Switzerland, that his parents were even richer than most NFL players, and he found all the women on social media who were just too thirsty to want to check. And for those that did check, here was an interesting wrinkle. Google actually returned a result when you typed in who is Julian or Dejon Love, and the answer came back, Dejon Love is a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. Why? Because the bots that crawl the web to give you answers on Google were seeing all this social media stuff that he and his accomplice were pumping out. Now, he would have gotten away with this scam if it weren't for those meddling kids. I know, that's every episode of Scooby-Doo out there. But it was $1.2 million, I think, all told. And he had a long list of victims that he scammed money out of, and I guess that's illegal. I don't know why or how exactly it's wire fraud, but I suppose it is. Anyway, the victims, you would think, would just be like, fuck, okay, well, let's hope this asshole goes to jail and I don't think I'm getting any of my money back because he's a complete poser, filming himself doing workout routines on the beach, shirtless but with a Niners helmet. And, you know, a good-looking Niners helmet. He invested in the scam, all right? He had a Riddell Speedflex $546 authentic NFL helmet with a visor on it. So, you know, it looked like, wow, that looks like a real NFL player. He was kind of athletic, I suppose. He was not super ripped, but you could be like, well, I don't know, maybe. Probably doesn't look like it, but by running on the sand, it kind of slows things down to the point where you're not going to instantly say, you're not an NFL wide receiver. What the fuck are you talking about? But the victims. You think the victims would just say, okay, this is the most embarrassing thing in my life. I'm just going to lay low. But they're actually coming out now, and they're talking about what a bad guy this was. Hey, listen, just talk to the prosecutors. Don't come out in public and make yourself even more famous. But they can't help it. These type of women, not all women, but these type of women, they will take fame, and they will take virality online above everything else. Here's one of his victims, Juliana Caro. She tweeted, went from dating these little Bay Area boys to being on a date with an NFL player. Ladies, this is your sign not to never settle. This is your sign not to never settle. That's a double negative. This is your sign to never settle, ma'am. Somebody replied, I wonder which player it is. And Ms. Caro said he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. That's all you need to know, Pappas. This guy had a cake made of a Niner jersey that said Love number 7 on it. And like I said, he was able to tell these women, hey, Google me. The old Kurt Cignetti thing. You know who I am? Google me. And Google gave back the result. Absolutely incredible. Incredible. Jack Mack Barstool, you should go watch his video. I like his vibe, and he does a very good job of explaining these things that are, like, you know, complicated or in-depth. Here he is talking about Dejon Love.
To the feds over the past 4 years, the man behind me has pretended to be in the NFL. He convinced over 25 women that he was a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. He would then sleep with them and then steal their money. He stole upwards of $1.2 million of women throughout four separate states. The man who took his 49ers helmet everywhere with him convinced women that they would get insane returns on investments and even had women take out loans for him. Now you may be thinking, wow, fraudster of the year, schemer of the decade. But the feds see this and say, ah, man, you're going to jail. Here's the Instagram that Dejan Love ran where he convinced over 25 women that he played in the NFL. Grind, don't stop. NFL wide receiver at 49ers, undrafted, trust God. He even pretended to be a Fabletics partner. Here's a look at some of his Instagram stories. NFL journey, beach work, free agency, tough, Super Bowl, year one. This man was very deep into this scheme. As you can see, he even got a cake of his fake jersey with his name on the back of it.
So this video goes on for almost 4 minutes.
Both in the future. He would then have them invest in these fake things. He would take their money and then he would just leave town. Look at this. The visor's not even on, bro. The visor's not even on, bro.
It's hell with
make matters worse, he had an accomplice that was 18 years old, according to the New York Post. He was his investment advisor. The scheme started in 2022. So that means that these women were not only being defrauded and schemed by a fake NFL player, but by a 14-year-old. Here's a photo that he would show the woman of his bank account. This is an unreal photo because at the top, it just says World Bank. my bank's the world, man.
I mean, this is an all-timer. But what's great is that, you know, the victims are out there lecturing others. Like, never settle. Look what I got. Again, they're hitting Google, at least, or some of them. They're like, well, this is legit. But does everything else check out? Of course, now this is lighting off secondary explosions and bottle rockets and funny stories and conspiracy theories. Kurt Benkert, former fourth-string quarterback for the Packers. I'm sorry, third string. Said Dejan Love is the quickest industry plant of all time to brush over the Niners' ownership issues from last week. Oh, yeah. Was there an issue? Oh, that's right. Their owner, Jed York, got pulled over and busted for trying to troll for a $140 hooker in a trailer park in Ohio. But you see, you can't stand up an industry plant this quickly. This guy's been working this scheme for 4 years. Then there's this. The Niners coaches are having fun with it because Niners wideout coach Leonard Hankerson posted a picture of himself using AI inserting Dejan Love into the photo with Hankerson coaching him up. Kendrick Bourne responded to the post by Hankerson. Man, I knew you were coaching him. I hate it that we lost him. He was bawling. That's funny stuff right there. And here's the other thing. There are more out there. Oh, yeah. People are now finding these guys. Another Dejan Love type is a guy by the name of Juras A.G. the Fourth. He's got a YouTube where he's seen flexing and showing off his workouts, his box jumps, and pretending to be a member of the Dallas Cowboys. See, this is where when you have 90-man August rosters, and we know that you're only fighting for maybe four or five spots, a lot of opportunity for scammers out there, that's for sure. Plus, there's just the good old bar thing where if there's a tall black man who's athletic looking, he could pass himself off to any number of chicks as being in the NBA, the NFL, or whatever. But when there's thirsty women and there's a good-looking man who's got a good rap down and maybe about 4 years of Instagram stories of claiming to be in the NFL, look out. Never know what's going to happen. Coming up, two massive stories in the NFL that are real, unlike Dejan Love. Aaron Donald is coming back to the Rams, and Josh Jacobs has been put on the list. You are listening to the Zabecast. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Welcome back. Good solo run on a Monday. I got a lot of stuff planned for this week, but I kind of had to hold off on today's pod till late Sunday night, which I'm at right now, because I just knew things were going to happen. Like, I was ready to put this podcast to bed and go have a Sunday at 9 a.m. today, but then Aaron Donald broke, and then Josh Jacobs broke, and there's still some more stuff coming down. It's going to be a busy 48 hours. I digress. Reminding you that as you get ready for the upcoming football season, you want to wager responsibly, and you want to do it with a place that you know will pay you when you win. I got the place. It's the one place we've been affiliated with for over 6 years now, and that is MyBookie. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.ag. It all leads to the same place. MyBookie has a great reputation in the business. They were there first before these other Johnny-come-latelys. And because we've been such a good longtime partner, I have been given one of a few, only three or four different affiliated podcasts have been given a promo code like this. I've got a promo that will allow you to double your initial deposit, whether it's $1,500, that's the first threshold, or $5,000, matchy-matchy, even Steven, you put in this, we'll match it, says MyBookie. $1,500 high roller bonus using promo code ZABE5K. ZABE5K. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, 5K. And then if you want to go even higher, $5,000, you get another $5,000 to play with. Now remember, rollover rules apply on all this promotional bonus add-on cash. This is how it is at every place that you play online, and it's the only way they can stay in business. Obviously, you're not going to hit it once and then run, but what a great deal. You already know you need a bankroll for the upcoming football season. So get it here. Use promo code ZABE5K, $1,500, $5,000. Those are the two matching levels. So go ahead, punch it in, and thank you for being a ZABE listener. Aaron effing Donald is back. Joining now Myles Garrett on what, at least on paper, is the most terrifying defensive front four since the Steel Curtain, maybe? Or maybe the Chicago Bears of 85? This, on paper, if Garrett, I mean, we know Garrett's going to be amazing. I was seeing him do box jumps from a seated position, which is nuts. Huge box jumps. Just boing at his weight and strength and speed. But now you add Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald's been out of the game for 2 years. But if he's anything close to what he was, holy shit. Here is the details of the Aaron Donald comeback contract. $10 million in base pay. A max of $10 million in per-game roster bonuses up to 15 games. So there's also $10 million in playoff playtime incentives. So he could make $30 million in theory. Now you might add, wait a minute, how can they add a guy of that cost at the last minute without completely blowing up their salary cap? And you know what? I don't know, because I'm not an accountant. Maybe it's just fugazi. Like, what's his name in Wolf of Wall Street?
It's all a Fugazi. You know what a Fugazi is?
Fugazi. It's a fake.
Yeah, Fugazi, Fugazi. It's a wazi. It's a
Matthew
woozy.
McConaughey.
It's fairy dust. It doesn't exist. It's never landed. It is no matter. It's not on the elemental chart. It's not fucking real.
Right? All right.
Maybe the Rams are proving that the NFL salary cap is indeed Fugazi. But what a loaded team on paper, at least, for the Rams. So that makes the Rams the current favorites to win the NFL's, to go to the Super Bowl. In fact, here is the number. As soon as this deal got announced, the Rams' odds at most sports books moved to plus 500 to win the Super Bowl. However, over the past 30 years, the preseason favorite has had Super Bowl odds of 500 or better, or plus 500, 5-1. That's pretty short odds. Over the past 30 years, the preseason favorite's been plus 500 or better, 20 of those 30 years. The short favorites have had a terrible record. They're 0 for 20 in terms of paying off. Now, I know, it's hard. There's 32 teams, anything can happen. Injuries, bad calls, a fumble here, but still, the short favorites are 0-20 in the last 30 years. Keep that in mind. Now, you may say to yourself, but I want to bet him as comeback player of the year. Well, this is where I'm not so sure. Currently, Aaron Donald is plus 700 to be comeback player of the year. Patrick Mahomes is your overwhelming favorite at plus 200. Kyler Murray at plus 500. Jaden Daniels at plus 700. Somebody tweeted that, hey, reminder, you cannot win comeback player of the year if you're coming out of retirement. This was an updated rule in 2024. Any sports book that puts this option out there is legit robbing people. Don't fall for the trap. This instantly generated a lot of people arguing with the poster, going, no. You can actually. The requirement involves missing time due to an injury, illness, or other circumstances preventing, that's the key word, from players playing. The rule does not explicitly state they cannot win because of retirement. It is a gray area. To which the person making this post said, yeah, but here's the actual language in the award. Quote, the spirit of the AP Comeback Player of the Year is to honor a player who has demonstrated resilience in the face of adversity by overcoming illness, physical injury, or other circumstances that led him to missing playing time the previous season. There's a lot of loopholes in there you could drive a truck through. And don't forget, it's the media that's voting on this award. If you're going to put anything more than just a little snicky on Comeback Player of the Year, you're crazy, because to me, there's too much uncertainty in that. Also, are they stashing him for later in the year? Pro Football Talk tweets, the timing of Donald's return opens up the door to the possibility of the Rams putting him on the reserve PUP list and giving him 4 more weeks to get ready, thereby reducing his total workload to no more than 13 regular season games. I would not be shocked by that. Because that makes sense. If he's going to be slow coming back, they can win some games without him. Have him even fresher for the home stretch would seem to be a very smart thing to do. Now to the other big story of the day in the NFL, and that is Josh Jacobs has made the commissioner's exempt list. Cue Chris Jericho. And the whole, you just made the list.
You know what? You just made the list. I'll push you all on the list.
This comes at a time that couldn't be worse for the Packers, who did make a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers for Caleb Johnson, running back out of Iowa, who had a very disappointing first year. I think he was like a fourth or fifth round pick. Actually, 83 overall. So that would have been third round pick. The Iowa product only rushed for 69 yards on 28 carries in 10 games as a rookie. third rounder originally. The Packers get him for a seventh. We'll see. When you combine his lack of stats, 28 carries, 69 yards, with Marshawn Lloyd drafted out of USC and has been injured from the minute he's been on the roster in Green Bay, it is a pretty daunting lack of proven production. Now, over the weekend, Friday night, the Packers had family night, their final preseason game. After the game, Matt LaFleur was asked, what do you think is going to happen? What do you expect with Josh Jacobs? And LaFleur said, we fully anticipate him being on our roster. So they seem to be pot committed. But the NFL obviously had a reason for putting him on the exempt list, because they've not put guys on the exempt list recently more often than I thought they would or should. For example, Stephon Diggs, actually charged with felony strangulation in what would be a domestic violence case, was allowed to play in the playoffs last year and then ended up the charges fell apart because the woman in court was proven to be a lying you-know-what. And there you go. Why couldn't Jacobs be part of this? One word. Video. As soon as the report was, well, there is a video from the home surveillance inside his garage throwing his live-in girlfriend, which is also complicated because in the state of Wisconsin, you, to get a domestic violence actual charge, it's sort of like an addendum. It's an aggravating factor. It's not its own standalone category. Therefore, these are misdemeanors. But when they said there was video of him throwing his girlfriend to the ground, causing her to hit her head, stumbling back to the door in the garage, and the officer who responded to the call saying there was a bump on the back of her head, that tells you right there, if that video exists and if somebody has a copy of it, then guess what? It is big trouble for the league if they don't get ahead of this. And this is where I made a post today. Let me read from my own Twitter post. I said, pertinent to Jacobs landing on the exempt list, one word is simply video. Once this part was revealed to be part of the evidence, the Shield had to act. There's no way to know fully if anyone in the Brown County DA's office, a mole or somebody, is sitting on a cell phone vid of a laptop copy of the incident itself. In the Ray Rice case, remember, the league gave him two games at first, and then somebody dropped the bomb. Ray Rice never played another down again because of the video. I would say Josh Jacobs' chances of playing again for the Packers just took a severe nosedive. Now, of course, somebody had to chime in and say, brevity is the essence of Twitter, Zabe. Okay. You're lecturing me how to use this medium, this communication tool. Do you not know, sir, that long-form tweets and multi-tweet sort of series episode tweets are becoming more and more prevalent? And you may hate them. I don't read them all, but I do read some. I remember Twitter once being described to me, and this made a lot of sense, as a microblog. Why don't people read blogs anymore? You don't have to. There's Twitter. If you really need to get a lot of stuff off your chest, you could do multiple tweets in a single string or do a really long one. Also, they said videos. You got to keep your videos short to like 3 minutes. Well, some people are posting consistently on purpose long-form videos, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes, sort of explainers like, whatever happened to Buffalo Wild Wings? Why are they not as popular as they once were? Well, shit happens. And the guy will do a walk and talk and explain the downfall of Buffalo Wild Wings. So, sir, don't worry. Just either unfollow me or go follow, read whatever you want to read. I'm giving you my full thoughts here on my podcast, but I gave you a teaser at least on Twitter. The history of the commissioner's exempt list is interesting because a lot of the suspensions, they never made the commissioner's exempt list. They were just suspended after it kind of came out like, okay, shit, we've just got to suspend him right away.
You know what? You just made the list. I'll put you all on the list.
I can't vouch for whether this is truly comprehensive, complete, and airtight, but Connor Allen, who is on Twitter, 31,000 followers, betting in fantasy on 4-for-4 football, said, here's the commissioner-exempt list history, walking back in time. The last one was 2024. Jabril Peppers got 7 games. Kareem Hunt, remember that video of him kicking that woman in an elevator lobby? 5 games. Reuben Foster, 2018. Remember the video of him unleashing his belt in a beach brawl to literally whip a woman with his belt? 5 games. Greg Hardy, 2014, 15 games. Adrian Peterson, same year, 15 games. Peterson and Hardy sat the whole year. Foster and Hunt went on the list in week 13. So 5 was all that was left. Peppers was able to return with his case still pending. Every case is different, writes Connor Allen. And so Jacob's felony getting dropped to 2 misdemeanors, who knows? He might get somewhere in the 6-to-8 game range. His court date's not till the middle of November, so you do the math on that. He's already looking at missing 7, 8, 9 games, unless it suddenly resolves, unless the league says, okay, we've seen the video, it's 4 games, and straighten up, young man. I doubt that's going to happen at this point. And I honestly don't understand what the Packers are doing. They're kind of fucking this up because they're way behind the cycles on all of this. I asked a friend, I said, so what is the deal? What's the Packers' plan here? Absorb this probable 4-to-6 game suspension or longer as he gets lost in the commissioner's exempt list and then nurse him back into game shape, hoping he doesn't get hurt again like he was last year. Because remember, you're going to be in the middle of the season now, and you want to give him some touches, but not too many touches. And, you know, is he ready for the full workload? That's a whole thing. You got to incorporate him into an offense that was already going to be geared more towards Jordan Love and more towards passing. Thank God for that. And you're going to have to say, well, how does he fit then into this new offense? And then on top of all that, if you're the Packers, you have to do the heavy PR lift of, you know, he's very sorry about what he did. He's learned a lot. He's grown a lot. Look at this charity for battered women he is now affiliated with. He's going to make this right. You can say, well, what does that cost you in terms of football stuff? It all costs. Any distractions, anything other than just got to win this game. Got a game on Sunday, got to win this game. How are we going to win this one game this Sunday? That focus. Anything and everything else, it scrubs speed off the entire operation. And this will be a heavy lift because Green Bay and Wisconsin is a very conservative, nice state full of nice people. And they don't want a guy kind of like this on their team if this is who he really is. So that's the best case scenario, that he only gets 6 games. He comes back. They're able to ramp him up relatively quickly. They integrate him into this newly tweaked offense that is more passing-oriented. He stays healthy, and they win, and they're in the playoffs. And come January, it's like, God darn, Josh Jacobs is awesome. Hey, wasn't he the guy that did that to his girlfriend? Yeah, but he's learned and he's grown a lot. Don't worry. Touchdown, Jacobs! There's a lot that has to go right for this. And the thing that can go wrong, horribly wrong, is you do this heavy PR lift if you're the Packers. And if you absorb the 6-to-8 games, he's out. And then the video comes out. Because somebody inside the DA's office, somebody in the evidence room, somebody in the video department did what obviously somebody did in Ray Rice. They whipped out their cell phone. They hit play on the laptop that has the security camera footage that probably took 2 months for them to recover. And they pointed at the screen and they go, huh, got it right here. It's like, I'm just going to show my friends. I'm not going to release this. I would never do that to harm the Packers. Well, the guy that got the video wouldn't do it to harm the Packers. But if he shows one friend or texts it to somebody else, it's like a virus that gets out. Remember, some scumbag, piece of shit, first responder had photos of the Kobe Bryant crash scene. And Bryant's widow sued the living shit out of him, and for good reason. And I say that as a man who wants to get the assets. There's some assets that you shouldn't have and nobody should have. But yeah, this is the fear. I just don't see the upside to it. And I don't know. They're hanging in there for now. But it's going to be a Caleb Johnson, Marshawn Lloyd starter pack for the first couple games at least. Your combined career stats for running back one and running back two in Green Bay, 34 carries, 84 yards, no touchdowns. Hey, running is for suckers, right? One last thing from the weekend. There was the greatest flyover in the history of professional sports and airplane flyovers ever. When I saw it, the first clip started coming out, I said, okay, no fucking way. Not only was it a non-military flyover, it was two commercial jets, sizable commercial jets. These are not regional commuters. I think they were Embraer E190s. Very good airframe. Oh, look at you talking like you're a pilot. Shut up. And it was done by Airlink, which is a private airline in South Africa. The plane is so low to the top of the stadium in Cape Town, South Africa, for I believe their one of their rugby finals, including the Springboks, that it is shocking. Aviation nerds pulled up the data, the publicly available data, and calculated that the clearance between the belly of one of those Embraers and the top of the stadium was no more than 30 to 40 feet total. I mean, it skimmed right over it. The second Embraer flew through the ploof of a pyrotechnic, explosion rocket that was red, creating a very cool-like effect. And they kind of peeled off from side to side. And so I tweeted out, this is a retire the trophy, all-time reckless and insane flyover. And then I got attacked. I got attacked by various weirdos because I didn't know that this was like a tradition of low commercial jet flyovers in South Africa. But I didn't know that apparently Airlink had planned the maneuver, practiced the maneuver, and gotten clearance on the maneuver. And they pulled it off. These pilots are really good that are flying these airframes, and so therefore, I'm not saying that it was... I guess what I'm saying is, was the juice worth the squeezing? Like, okay, you can fly. These pilots are trained to fly just a couple feet above the runway as part of their training. But that's a runway, not a stadium filled with 80,000 people. Pilot Scott Bateman, don't know his credentials, but he sounds like he's a credentialed pilot, said, I posted yesterday about the Airlink flypast in Cape Town, and like many professional pilots, I was aghast. The reaction to this flypast has been fascinating, though. For some, it was spectacular. It was. I loved it. I was like, the photos and the videos. Some of the angles make it look a little less egregious, but not much. For some, it was spectacular, a moment of national pride flown by experienced South African aviators and apparently carefully planned, rehearsed, and approved. I understand that, writes pilot Scott Bateman. But here's why so many professional aviators are uncomfortable with what we saw. Aviation is extraordinarily safe, and precisely so because we do question ourselves. We do debrief. We challenge. We report. We investigate. And sometimes, even when something is legal, authorized, and goes exactly as planned, we still ask, was that really a good idea? This isn't negativity. It isn't disrespect. And it certainly isn't an attack on South African aviation. He goes on to explain further about how it's like, hey, you know, when something like this goes down, you can't just go, nothing more to see here. We do this all the time. By the way, they once flew three
747s over the stadium in Cape Town in formation. They weren't nearly as low, but man, that was cool as shit. 3 747s. But I got attacked. I got attacked by, let's see here. Here's a guy. I'll give him a little bit of fame since he wanted a piece of me. The Don of hashtag power up. Author, ad hoc columnist for the City Press, Times Live, Daily Maverick commentator, ENCA. Sounds like he's from South Africa. And he goes by at me apartheid. I don't know. That's not his thing. But he's at Thammy25. He said, we've been doing this for more than 30 years. This was Fly Airlink, precision at its best. All I can say on behalf of all of South Africans is, you are talking shit. And he includes a meme in a language, well, I think it's in South Africa.
You are my say.
You're talking shit. Okay, Don of Power Up. I didn't know at the time I tweeted that it was approved. It seemed like it was a couple pilots going, hey, watch this. Then I got hit by a guy whose profile pic is of him shirtless, John Turner. And he says, I like homesteading and prepping because, well, because. He's a shirtless prepper who saw my tweet calling this flyover the retire the trophy is stupid and reckless forever flyovers. He said, this from a guy who wears a fucking mask, long sleeves, and gloves while mowing his fucking lawn. Come on, pussy. Grow a pair. I'm like, I am taking incoming from a shirtless prepper over a South African flyover. What? This app. I'm never quitting this app because I can laugh at it. I don't get mad. Okay, bro. How dare I wear long sleeves? I don't want dirt and grass clippings and bugs on my on my arms. Yeah, I wear a mask. Almost gave myself a severe respiratory condition the first time I mowed the property, 3 hours on a zero turn, knocking back stripes on 10 acres. Nearly couldn't breathe for a week afterwards. Of course I'm going to wear a fucking mask. I don't wear as much of a mask now. I wear a simple silk mouth breather like landscapers. And yeah, I wear gloves. I know. Soft. So my hands don't get sunburnt. And when I go under branches on trees, I don't get them all scraped up. And if that makes me a pussy, fine. Let me tell you what, John Turner. There are many more things that make me a bigger dandy boy than mowing the lawn the way I want to mow my lawn. But thank you for taking time to come at me that way. God bless America and South Africa and those pilots. Great pilots. Great stunt. Holy shit. Holy fook. We too low. Watch out for the bang ding ow. If you know, you know. Okay, I am bumping out with a song that is perfect for today's podcast, After the Love Has Gone. This one goes out to Dejan Love, who is now facing federal charges for wire fraud. He had a great run as a not actually an NFL wide receiver for the Niners, but it's over. The love is gone. Thanks for listening. Promo code ZABE5K on mybookie.com. ZABE5K. Get your bankroll powered up. Turbocharged for the upcoming football season. As always, wager responsibly. Thank you for listening. Have yourself a great Monday. Still August 31st, 2026. And we will see you next time. Hey, baseball is not done yet. I know, Lord, football has arrived and everything else feels like background noise, but I get it.
I live it, but let me make a case for something real quick. And that is the baseball pennant race right now is wild, and you can cash in. We're in the final weeks of the regular season. Teams are clawing for wild card spots. One-run games, bullpen meltdowns, lineups being juggled every night. Now is the best baseball time of the year, and it's happening right now at mybookie.ag. MyBookie has all of it. Every game, every line, baseball and football running simultaneously. It's beautiful chaos. New players use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. If your first bet loses, you get it back up to $500 in free play plus $25 in casino credit. One rollover. That's it. Don't sleep on fall baseball, folks. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for availability in your state.